Okay, let's continue on. Verse 13, Exodus 21. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand. Now, what does this mean? Have you ever thought about that? And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint a place where he shall flee. You remember the case of this father in Texas whose son was kidnapped and raped and killed by this pervert? I'm sure you remember a little bit about it. Well, anyway, it even showed it on television, where this man knew that he was coming into the airport. He was captured and being brought into the airport handcuffed by the police. And he stood there, and when he came by, he shot him dead. Okay? I would say God delivered him into his hands. I think the jury in Texas agreed and did not put any penalty upon him. At least there's some people down there who agree a little bit with the Bible. Okay? God does allow in the Old Testament vengeance by a relative. Not in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, if you knew who did it, you could go get them. You could go get them. Then I will appoint a place where he shall flee. So they had to flee to these special safety cities, and there they had the hearing. There's where the trial was to be conducted, to determine the facts of the case. And if it were, verse 14, but if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. Don't come to God in the name of God and say, oh, let's have compassion upon these poor criminals. God says, even if they are holding on to my altar, you're going to rip their hands off of that altar and take them out and execute them. That doesn't give you much leeway, does it? Okay? To me, cruel and unusual punishment is to be put in one of these cells and live your whole life in one of those cells. Now, verse 15, he that smites his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Boy, that would sure change a lot of things today, wouldn't it? Okay. He that steals a man, or that is, steals a person and sells him, or if he be found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. What should do with these kidnappers, and how many kids have been taken? We still have them. There's this Michelle... what's her name, right around here near Danville. She's still missing. She probably, a lot of these children end up being sacrifices for satanic services. And, of course, the officials deny it because many of them are in on it. Okay? How many saw that report that Geraldo Rivera did on the Satanists? Did you watch that? Did any of you watch that? You remember that? You didn't see that? Did you see it? Oh, that was something. That was absolutely something. Where they have women who have testified that they gave birth to babies to be sacrificed on Satan's altar in these homes. And that they would go out and kidnap little kids, and they would be sacrificed and eaten and then burned. And it's happening today. That is happening. Where have all the children gone? I mean, you separate out all of those that are in divorce problems, and one of the parents takes them, and they're well taken care of by one of the other parents someplace else. But those are easy enough to find. I mean, that's the exception. That's not the rule. Okay, that's what they're doing. That's why God says, put them to death. They don't do these things. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Well, you could save a lot of rebellious societies, couldn't you? that were the case. If men strive together, one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keeps his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then he that smote him shall be quit. That is from the death penalty, because he lived. Only he shall pay for loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. Now that's what it should be. There should be prisons only for holding tanks for those who are waiting trial. Then they should go to some place where they could work and repair the damage that they have done by their work and their labor and their pay to make restitution to the victim. That's the whole basis of God's law. Restitution to the victim. And if you had that, you wouldn't have any need for prisons. All those who had premeditated murder, who did things worthy of death, would be executed. That would be it. Okay? Then it talks about here, if a man smite his servant and so forth. It says, with a rod die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive, hurt a woman with child, we could get into this concerning abortion. And why is it that these maudlin people who do not believe in killing the criminals believe in killing the unborn that have not even had a chance to live a life, whether good or bad, because of their own inherent selfishness, destroy them? And I'm so glad that Idaho passed that law here. Wasn't it Idaho? Yes, Idaho passed that law. Good for them. Hooray for Idaho. Okay, if two men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follows, that is, the baby lives, and the woman lives, he shall surely be punished according to the woman, as the woman's husband shall lay upon him. So the victims have a right in the judgment. Lo and behold, right? Yes, indeed. So we have victims' rights. And he shall pay as the judges determine. There should be payment for those things. But today we have it all backwards. It's not you and I against the murder of our children. It is the state versus so-and-so, and you don't have a say-so in it. The state has taken over your right. The state gets the fine. The state gets the penalty, right? Not you. Today, women get raped, have to go on the stand and testify. Nothing is made to make their life right again, but they have to go through all this nonsense with this rapist. A lot of them out there taking drugs and different things so that they have sexual power beyond belief. That, you know, I don't know how these guys can go out and rape these women. It's just beyond me. Any man that has that kind of activity while he's hurting someone else, there's something wrong up here with them. That's why God says they need to be executed. Okay? Verse 23. If any mischief follow, then you shall give life for life. It's based upon life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. As the judge determines, you shall pay. If you lost a limb, you don't want someone else to lose a limb, but you want it made right because now you can't use your limb. Okay, that's why we have with auto insurance. That's why we have insurance, and you'll read it. So much for the loss of an arm, so much for the loss of a hand, for two legs, for two arms. You know, so much for the loss of the head. They pay for your life. A little sick joke thrown in there. However, insurance is not ungodly. Insurance is a godly thing to do so that you not only protect yourself from other people, but that you have a means to protect others in case you do something. If you take your car, what if your car goes out here and something just goes haywire with it? You can't control it, and you can't stop it, and you run someone over. Aren't you glad you have some insurance to pay, make restitution for that person? And generally, it goes to the victim. The insurance company has the right means, and it generally goes to the victim, unless you get it all tied up in litigation and courts and things like this, and then it goes to the attorney, and then some goes to the victim. Okay? Now, then it talks about ox goring. It talks about many other things here that should be done. It talks about theft, and it talks about the repayment of that, chapter 22. If you steal, you restore. Okay? If he be found breaking in, and no blood shall be shed for him. The sun be risen upon him, verse 3, there shall be blood shed for him. For he shall make full restitution. Isn't that interesting? Full restitution. If he hath nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Believe it or not, brethren, God is for indentured servitude to make it right for your victim. God is for that. I'm for that. I think that would be a great system. Get these people out of these stupid prisons where they stare at these bars and guards. And if they've done nothing unto death, make them go out and work. Make them make full restitution. Boy, you could have that, you know. You really could. That would work good. Not turn it into to the mean gang, you know, of some of these things like you've seen prison gang movies, you know, where they go out and work on the road and they're beaten and they're abused. And no, I'm not talking about that. Let them work. Let them learn. I think they did one thing over here at, Santa Rita. They're having some of those who are in for lesser crimes get their diploma. I think that's a good thing. Teach them some skills. I think that is good. Absolutely. Yes, let them work. Let them make full restitution. Let them work for the government for 10 years and let the government make payments out of their salary toward these people's injury or whatever it may be. Okay? If the theft be found certainly in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man cause a field or vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard, he shall make restitution. Now, that's a good law. You have some jerk over here who doesn't take care of his farm, but looks over here and there's a guy out there working real hard. And he's got good fodder. He's got good hay. He's got good crops. So he opens the gate and lets his sheep run in there and his cattle run in there, and they get fat on his grass. Well, God says you're not going to get fat on someone else's grass. Then you go get the best of your grass and you go make it right. It's good law. Speaking of grass, boy, if we had it where, I think they should do one thing. Now, this is one of my own little pet peeves to save the environment, and that is they should have, instead of going around spraying for weeds and trying to put out all these forest fires, there are a few places where they have it, but you have either sheep or goats, okay? And you have them, you have a temporary fence that you move along with it, but you let them eat everything down where all this high grass grows. You have cheap meat, right? But then you stop all these forest fires. And then you could have some of these criminals make their money, go on out and pick up the dead wood and the dead branches and all the stuff that falls to the forest floor. Keep the forest clean. Okay? And if a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of a man's house, if the theft be found, let him pay double. Let the thief pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the household shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods. Nothing like a little S&L scandal, huh? Now they're trying to come back and stop all the thievery that's been going on by declaring that the appointment of the new director to save the SNLs was not constitutionally appointed correctly, so therefore now we're going to give all of these back to them and all these thieves going to be let go. See, whether he's put his hand to his neighbor's goods for all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox or ass or sheep or raiment, for any manner of lost thing which belongs to another, challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. Boy, you'd have a nice neighborhood watch, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have to worry about thieves coming. Everybody be watching out for everybody else, wouldn't you? Yes, indeed. And don't you think the parents would take care of their dirty thieving kids? Yes, they would. Okay? And don't you think that every lawnmower that has been borrowed will be brought back? Yes, it should. I had pity on a man. He came over. It was a man I knew long years ago, and he came over, and he was a poor man, and he said, do you still have your rototiller? I said, yes, I have my rototiller. And he said, well, can I borrow it? I want to work up my garden. I said, yeah, you can borrow your, you know, my rototiller, just take care of it and so forth. And so he brought it back and everything, and I didn't use it all that year because he did it in the fall, and generally we don't, but next spring, guess what? He blew out the head gasket. The motor was gone. And I didn't know where he lived. And guess what? My wife said, I told you, I told you, I told you. Okay? It cost me $240. Okay? All right? Now, I should have two brand new rototillers, right? According to this. Okay, if any man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he has not put his hand to his neighbor's good, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if the stolen, and if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it in for witness, and he shall not make good that which is torn. In other words, if it's not his fault. If a man borrow aught from his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, and the owner thereof not being with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good, because he was there and could witness how the animal was being treated. See? But if the owner thereof be with it, you shall not make it good. See, so my rototiller should have been made good because I was not with it, and it was brought back injured. And when I started, it went, you know, gasp and heeze and, you know, spark and all this sort of thing. All right. But if the owner thereof be with it, shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for its hire. Cost of the hire takes care of it. If it breaks down then, it's okay. If you hired out an ox and you plow it and it drops dead in its tracks, come and pick it up. I hired him. Okay? But if he loans it to you and he's not there with it and he drops dead in his tracks, then you're going to make it good. How many have seen these huge oxen? How many have seen these tall, tall oxen? Really tall. I mean, just about, you know, 2 feet below this ceiling right here. That's where the shoulder is. I mean, huge. Boy, can they work. Woo! There was a pair of them when we lived up in Paul's Bowl, Washington. There was one guy, he did everything with oxen. And we heard stories about how big these things were, you know, and so as kids, we went up there one day to watch them. And those things are gigantic. And they could go up and they'd just toil right along. He'd do everything with the oxen. Something. I saw it. I was scared to death. Man, I was 9 years old, and I looked up, and here's this great, huge oxen, you know, and you get around and up on a fence, and you look in there, and this big old head comes up to you, you know, and, you know, breathing on you. I used to use horses to plow into, you know, so it was, I was used to animals, but that thing was huge. Can you imagine repaying that? Can you imagine if you had one of those and it dropped over dead in your field repaying that? Wow. Okay. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and he lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. Boy, you could stop all this welfare stuff. You know, there was one man who went around and bragged that he brought 47 children into this world. Oh, I brought 47 children into this world by 10 women. Oh, where are they? You're married? No, they're all on welfare, man. And you and I pay for it. So if there's hanky-panky, marry him. Stop a lot of hanky-panky, wouldn't it? Okay. If her father utterly refused to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. So the father has some say-so here. You shall not allow a witch to live. That's another whole topic there. And you can see why. If you don't know why, I'll bring a sermon on it sometime. Whosoever lies with a beast shall surely be put to death. Why? Because he's got a perverted mind. You can't have perverted minds running around a society. He that sacrifices unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly be destroyed. You shall neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Yet, boy, I tell you, I saw a thing on child labor. How many of you saw that? It was on the Discovery Channel. Don't think I'm sitting watching TV all the time. I'm not. But when I do watch it, a lot of it I remember because it's noteworthy of remembering. Or was it a documentary or was it on CBS News? I forget. Maybe it was on the news. Showing the child labor in this world that they talked to one poor kid down there in Colombia. He had never gone to school. He was 12 years old and been working in his family brick factory for 6 years, and that's all he knows. Making bricks, carrying bricks, lifting bricks, and other kids working in different places in the world that they don't know anything but that one little thing that they're taught, and they're brought into it right away. Well, I tell you, that really got to me. Those poor kids, they don't even have a chance to do anything. Then on the other hand, we take kids away from our parents and throw them into these state schools and make them brainless nincompoops worth nothing. That's what's happening in the society today. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in what is right. When they hit about that junior year in high school, look out, you got your hands full. You just got your hands full. That's just the way it is. I've had mine full, so, you know, I'm not telling anything new. I hope you understand that. Okay? And if you inflict them in any way, and they shall cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, you shall not be to him as a usurer. Well, I just had one experience with that. These people have to come in and they have a note that they have to pay off by the 13th of April. And I said, well, bring me a copy of the note because I have to have it so we can put it in with the application to show and everything like that. So they brought this note down. It was for $11,000, zero interest for 1 year, unrecorded. Now, whenever you have an unrecorded note that's against a piece of property, and it's 0%, you ought to have your antenna up. And I did. So I nicely asked him, you know, I said, well, oh, this was something. He didn't charge any interest for 1 year. See, but he also had him sign all kinds of disclaimers. They know that in signing this note that they could lose their home, that they could have their salary garnished and everything. They had to initial about 10 different things like that accompanying the note. So he said, yeah. He said, well, he said, we were in trouble a year ago, and it was a one-year note for no interest, he said, and they loaned us $5,000, and we signed the note for $11,000. Okay, that is usury. That is usury. Okay? And these poor people are having a hard time. I hope I can rescue them and get them out from underneath it. I hope they have enough income, but their credit is really pretty lousy. And today, you ask people, how's your credit? Oh, it's good. And to them, that means maybe the last 6 months. It's all relative. Lenders want to know, has it been good for 2 years or more? Okay, so I hope I can help them, but I really felt sorry for those people. Here, they have this note with 0%. You look at that, boy, well, that was nice of that person to lend you $11,000 at no interest for 1 year. Oh, no, we got five. That would be 120% interest. Okay? Now, if you lend money to the poor, you shall not be to him as usurer, neither shall you lay upon him usury. If you at all take your neighbor's raiment to pledge, you shall deliver it to him by the sun, unto him by the sun that goes down. And he that has his covering only, it is a raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. In other words, you're not going to take the clothes off a man's back. That's where the saying comes. Okay? Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass when he cries unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. You shall not revile the gods, and as you have here, what do you mean, revile the gods? If you have that, a margin should be judges. These should read judges. Shall not revile the judges, nor curse the ruler of your people. And you shall not delay to offer your first fruit, so forth, so forth, so forth. Then he gets into other things concerning day-to-day things. Verse 1, chapter 23. You shall not raise a false report, and put not your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. And if you know anything about masonry at all, you will see how that violates that tremendously. You shall not follow the multitude to do evil, neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. God is telling you the majority are not right. When you stop and think of it, why was the Constitution of the United States given? Why was it originally conceived the way it was conceived? You ever thought of that? Keep control on things. On who? Toward whom? It was to control the government, to keep it from doing the rottenness against us that they are doing. But it has been changed around so badly, and you hear the word democracy. The Constitution was not for democracy, because as it says here, the mob is always wrong. It was to protect you against the majority. That's what it was designed for, and God's word is designed to protect you against the majority. To protect the individual. Okay? I'll finish here in just a minute. And if you meet your enemy's ox or his ass going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. Even if you don't like that old neighbor down the road there, you better take care of his stuff. Okay? That doesn't give you right to steal it or take it. And you see the ass of him that hates you lying under his burden, and you would forbear to help him, you shall surely help him. You're not going to say, oh, he deserves it. You shall not wrest judgment of the poor in his cause, and keep you far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous shall you not slay, for I will not justify the wicked. Let's see, what else do we have here? No graft, feast, and so forth. There are other sections in the Bible. Let's get to one more. Let's get to one more section, then we'll end it there because we started late. I was late, and it is late. We're past 3:30. I didn't even know it. Okay, let's go to one more. I'll just won't go there since it's so late. I will just summarize it and review it. That is, go to Leviticus 18 and 22, and you find the result, the commands for the different sex sins. And with that, I will just say that those people in charge of the government, those people in charge of movies, those people in charge of the courts, those people in charge of everyone are doing what Balaam did to the children of Israel to seduce them through fornication and bring upon the society the punishments that those evil perpetrators know will come because of it.
For our overseas offices, please check our website. www.cbcg.org.